Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. It's been 6 weeks since we last recorded. I'm delighted to be back and I'm joined by Pepe as always. How you doing, mate?
All good and looking forward to be back.
Yeah, that's it. Firstly, thanks for everyone who's messaged over the period of time that we haven't been about. That one's on me. Just a kind of break from everything podcasting, to be honest. But feeling good just now and delighted to be back, as I say. We've had 7 games since the last time we recorded, so I'll go over them one by one just now. A 2-1 victory over Ross County. Back-to-back 2-0 defeats against Hearts and Celtic, respectively. A 2-1 defeat at Tannadice against Dundee United. We were leading 2-0 against St Mirren at Fir Park, then we were pegged back late on to draw 2-2. Hammered 6-1 at home to Rangers. And then a nice result to wrap us off here. A 2-0 victory over Aberdeen at Pittodrie on Saturday. Pepe, it's difficult to go over all of those games in one episode, but let's instead try and work through the positives and negatives of these games, and then we'll focus on Saturday's victory against Aberdeen. We'll start with the positives first, and the first one that I've got noted down here is 13 games of the season down, we're sitting fifth in the table.
That's it. I mean, if you make comparisons to this time last year, where we were and how bad even the football was, it seems to be getting bandied about a lot just now. It's the result at the end that matters, not the performance, given that some of the performances have been shocking. But what you've got to look at is West Ham were playing mother team Liverpool yesterday, and the stats there were, for the first half, I think, were even worse than what Motherwell's were. I mean, they were 1-0 up and didn't even have a shot. It was an on goal for the keeper, straight for the corner. So I don't know whether this is a new style where game management comes into play. But I'm pretty sure if we had said to every Motherwell fan after that Hamilton game on New Year's Day, will you accept being fifth in the table come November next year? There's not a Motherwell fan that I know would say, no, I don't want that. I found it quite surprising that there's been a few fans almost not calling for the manager's head, but if we get beaten Aberdeen, it was a real slump and real questions were going to be asked. But for me, that's his way, that's his style. We grind out results, he manages the game. And it maybe just going to take some of the support a wee bit longer to get used to that. It is frustrating, but you hit the nail on the head straight away. We are fifth on the table and just get a great victory at Pittodrie.
Next thing I've got is the victory on Saturday kind of puts us back on track somewhat. You look back at the St Mirren game and it's decided in fine margins. They get a penalty, which I don't think was a penalty. Liam Kelly saves the initial penalty, but as a judge to be off his line, TV replays pretty much demonstrate that he wasn't off his line, so it's another poor call by the officials there. They eventually, Brophy scores the second penalty. We draw 2-2. Now, we weren't very good against St Mirren. In fact, St Mirren had every right to go away from Fir Park feeling a wee bit aggrieved that they hadn't won the game. But you draw that game and you think that's going to stop the rot somewhat. You go into the weekend game against Rangers, and with the best will in the world, these hammerings can happen against either half of the Old Firm, and they have happened against either half of the Old Firm when we've had stronger teams than we have just now. It was a very poor performance. It was a dismal performance, to be perfectly honest. But you kind of write that one off when you look through the fixture list at the start of the season. You then look towards a fixture against Aberdeen with a wee bit of dread, given a run of form. That would have been five games in a row that we had failed to win. We didn't want to make it six. The first half performance was really poor against Aberdeen. We were very much backs against the wall. But we found a way to win. We dug in. We defended resolutely. Liam Kelly looked back to his very best as well. Some tremendous saves throughout the match, actually. Is that a turning point in our season? Can we now say that we've stopped the rot and now we're back on track?
I think it's easy to say that it was a rot, but what you've got to look at is that we've played Celtic, we've had Rangers at home, we've had Hearts away, and in form Dundee United. I mean, I always say that you go through these results, and probably I would have maybe have picked out at the start of the season a draw at Tannadice. And it's very unusual. It's not every week you go to every game you go to Tynecastle and come away with much. But I wasn't really overly panicking. What I was concerned about was the performance against Rangers, because it just almost the tactic that we seem to be using is allowing the opposition to have the ball far more than us, and what we define as an area that they can't cause us issues. But Rangers have got that kind of quality and just showed that it wasn't going to work there. And what I was concerned about was that we didn't really seem to have any sort of plan B. But I feel as if that's kind of in the makeup of Graeme Alexander. We have some results we don't expect, and when we're terrible, we are absolutely honking. So for me, it's easy to say, oh, we're in a really, really poor run. Some of the games were more difficult. I'd be more concerned if we were thrown away, getting hammered by the likes of St Mirren, Ross County, Livingston's. I mean, we come up against them, we've showed that we're probably the better side, are able to win the game pretty comfortably. So for me, I was never really, really overly concerned.
The positive that I've got written down was the performance of Kevin Van Veen on Saturday. Now, Van Veen's been inconsistent since he arrived at Motherwell. He's had a few performances where he's looked absolutely gold. He's so energetic. His movement's fantastic. He's capable of sublime finish. And he produced two of them on Saturday. The problem is, when Kevin Van Veen's not on it, he seems quite far off the pace. Again, I think this could be a massive turning point for him. He hadn't scored away from Firth Park either until Saturday. He's clearly got a lot of talent. It's just trying to get that out of him on a more consistent basis, isn't it? And I think Saturday definitely demonstrated that he's got that in his locker. And we've got a real gem of a player there. If we can get his attitude right, I don't... From reading these interviews and from hearing him speaking following the match on Saturday, he does seem really grounded and really, really determined to do his best for Motherwell. It's just that inconsistency that perhaps is the reason why he's at Motherwell.
I think that's exactly it. Actually, I can't remember what game it was, or if it was Sports Scene or whatever, but it was actually Derek McInnes that spoke about him, that said that he had watched him playing whilst at Scunthorpe. And I think the first game that he seen him, he was like a world beater. He was absolutely out of this world. In the next two or three games that a scout went and watched him, I think he hit the ball four or five times and he was chronic. I just think that's him. And I think the reason that he probably hasn't made it more in higher leagues is because of that inconsistency. Whether it's down to the attitude or just the way that the rub of the green or what it is, you're right, that's why he's here. But I mean, the finish for the first goal was brilliant, to get in that position, somebody's touch. And he's a fan's favourite, because I mean, even the way that he celebrated running down the line against Aberdeen and kind of giving them the hand to the ear, that's what as fans we love to see. The only thing that that we can say slightly he back him up, as he's clearly a number nine, and there's been quite a bit of times where he's been drifted out onto the left hand side, which probably isn't his natural position. So I'm quite hopeful that we'll play him through a central role. But in saying that, I always feel as if Tony Watt offers more through central. So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. The other thing that kind of concerns me a wee bit is that there's been a few occasions where he's probably quite lucky that he's not been sent off, just through kind of determination to get challenges and what we would always call kind of stereotypical striker knee-high challenge. But a player's got that, then so be it. As we've said, he's suspended against Hearts, I believe. So we'll see how we cope without him. It would have been great if he was playing against Hearts, if he wasn't suspended, because I think his confidence would be right up there and it would probably be the best thing to play. I think it's just our luck that happens to a striker when we're getting into yet another international break.
Yeah, that's it. So you're looking at almost 3 weeks before he'll be able to return to action, and that does somewhat hinder his momentum there, but fingers crossed he can continue that partnership with Tony Watt, and it certainly was a very profitable one on Saturday. We'll move on to the negatives, and I guess the negative voices are always the loudest, and they've certainly been very loud over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I don't really think that it was heightened until the defeat against Dundee United, where I actually thought we played reasonably well. We got ourselves back into the game. We just lost two stupid goals, which proved to be very costly. Following that, you've obviously got a bit of a collapse in front of your own fans against St Mirren, and then the demolition job against Rangers. There was signs that we were going the way of the performances weren't great, but we were digging out results. When that stops happening and you're then on the receiving end of heavy defeats, or even just defeats when you don't really land a glove in the opposition, the fans do get frustrated. It was somewhat reminiscent of Robinson's final games, I thought. And Stevie Robinson wasn't able to dig himself out in that final occasion and get the result that prolonged his stay in charge at Fir Park. What's your take on the performances? I think we're going to find it very difficult to go along and enjoy this style of football. It's very uneasy on the eye. And to be honest, we just tend to try and shit-hiss our way to victories.
Listen, it'd be wrong for me to say that the football's been great to watch. Far from it. But, excuse me, the only thing is that we seem to get the knack of winning games when it really matters. Going up to Pittodrie, not many fans, especially when the team came out, would have took us for a 2-0 win. But the stats don't lie. I agree, possession wise, the stats at half time, zero shots on target against Aberdeen. It isn't pleasant watching. But the stat that matters the most is the one at the end of the game where we score two and they score none. And as supporting Motherwell for over 30 years, I'll take a shitey stats record as long as the stat that matters is we're winning the game. But I totally get the negativity with regards to the style of play. And I think the other thing that frustrates some of the support, particularly toward the manager, was some of the... He's very, very much... supports his players, which is great. But I think against Dundee United, he'd said something along the lines of that's one of the best performances from his team that he had seen since he had came here. And I was like, well, if that's where we're at, then we really need to have a look at ourselves, because I think, like you said, we did do all right, and we could easily come away with a draw, and we could have potentially stole the win if we hadn't flung that. The chance of it at the end. So I like the manager. I'm behind him, and I think the time again I said I would judge him after the transfer window is I still can't judge him. Again, I think we'll need to give that into the kind of new year and see where we end up at the end of the season. If we finish in the top six, then he's a success and an improvement. And hopefully, then the negativity, some of it justified, will be kind of calmed down a wee bit.
I think there's any merit in the fact that fans have been on the outside for a long period of time. We're finally back at games, getting to see the team up close. Do you think there's still a wee bit of lingering frustration from the events of last season, where we were well below par and some of the performances were downright abysmal? Do you think that it's almost kind of the supporters are maybe in a wee bit more of a negative mindset, and that's transcending when we're not putting in good performances and coming out in the end of a wrong result? Because there was very few negative voices following the result on Saturday, but if we had lost that game 2-0 and put in the same performance, I think the reaction would have been polar opposites.
I mean, theoretically speaking, we could easily have lost that game on Saturday. If you look at, on paper, the amount of chances that they had, Liam Kelly pulling off some great saves. And I have to say that I think part of the negatives was that I didn't think Liam Kelly had played particularly brilliant. Although none of a lot of the he saved us that many times that you allow him that. But I think if we had get beat on Saturday with that performance and the kind of zero shots and stuff like that, I just think it would have been into meltdown, particularly getting into the international break. And to be honest, I think that would have been a turning point for me as well. I think I would have maybe been starting to think, maybe I've got it wrong, maybe he isn't the right man. But you've just got to look at the situation that he found himself in at Salford, whereby Gary Neville, if anybody's not watched it, you should watch it. Gary Neville kind of says the same things as what the majority of our supporters is saying. The football is just not great to watch. And Alexander was then sacked. And since he's left the club, it's went down the way. Now, I'm not saying for a minute that we're ever going to win the league, but he seems to be able to manage the game pretty well. And Gary Neville has actually been big enough to say that it was a mistake to sack him. And I think he was sacked possibly for the same reason that a lot of the fans are negative here. So I'm more than willing to give him as much time as we can. We've not been anywhere near the relegation this season at all, which is great considering in last season. So for me, the game on Saturday's win was absolutely vital. But I can completely understand why people are negative toward the way that we're playing. I mean, it isn't pretty. It's enjoyable when we win, but see when we get beat, I think it makes it double worse because we are so shite.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that takes us on to the next negative that's on my list, and that would be the 6-1 defeat at home to Rangers, which it was a downright shambles, to be perfectly honest. We go ahead against her on a play, but instead of giving us a lift, it just seemed to put us further and further back. They eventually score 3 minutes before half-time, then score again a minute before half-time to go in 2-1 ahead. In the second half, was just a capitulation. It was 6-1, and we were quite lucky that it ended at 6. We folded in a way that a Graham Alexander team I didn't expect to fold. Like, the one thing that you can always say about Alexander's team is it's very rare that we go ahead and don't go on to at least get a share of the spoils. It's a rare occurrence. And it had happened in the midweek against St Mirren, and you've seen it time and time again this season, where we score the first goal and we bring on a centre-half almost as an immediate reaction to it, as if we're going to try and shore up the game and just concentrate in not conceding. This was polar opposite. We concede a goal and we just continued to leak goals and look like we were going to leak goals. It was a thoroughly embarrassing display, and as I've already mentioned, yes, there will be occasions where you get turned over by Celtic or by Rangers, but you can quite often put your hands up and go, well, you know what, they were just better on the day. The Motherwell performance, the Heads were slumped at 2-1. Graham Alexander didn't seem to get any sort of reaction out of them following the break. Stephen O'Donnell gets sent off to just cap off a miserable, miserable afternoon. And it's one that I think when we look back at the end of the season, as we always do, we'll think of back at that day. Well, I very much hope, because it really, for me, it couldn't get much worse than that.
That's exactly what I mean about that. If Motherwell go out there and go out attacking, we're creating chances and we look decent, but we're just beaten by the better team. Sometimes you've got to just take that in the chin. But the fact that right from every player to the management looked as if they just, I don't like saying they didn't care, they just didn't look, they looked clueless. We didn't know what to do, and we were all just looking for the clock to tick away so that the game could be ended. But I mean, for example, for me, see, as soon as O'Donnell's booked and it goes, they go 2-1 up, I'm thinking to myself, O'Donnell's going to get sent off, because they're just going to pound us. They're going to capitalise on him being booked and being off form. And I think it's difficult for the manager to take a captain off the pitch, but I'm not saying that it was completely O'Donnell's fault, but certainly that getting for a challenge like that when you're on a booking is absolute madness. But could it have been prevented by kind of brave management? I certainly think so. And it might not have been 6-1, completely shored it up. He said himself that he didn't perform to his best. It doesn't appear to be a plan B. It seems very, very, very determined to stick with the formation that he sees that is the best for us. I don't know whether I agree with that, but at the end of the day, that's why he's the manager. But with things like that, I'm trying to see going forward that what your next negative will be, and I'm thinking it may be Stephen O'Donnell. His performances haven't been great. He's not really performed the captain's role, and to be sent off in that game, I mean, as soon as he was booked, I'm thinking he's going to get sent off in this game, absolutely, no doubt yet. And it appears to be, I was proven right, I wish I'd went and stuck £20 on it, because I could see it happening. And the manager, he must have confidence in them, because the same thing happened at Aberdeen. I thought Barry Maguire is a stick on here to get sent off, similar to that of kind of Polworth at Pittodrie. So fair play to him that he didn't panic and change, but I think with Alexia O'Donnell, it gave Rangers a chance to attack that and put him under pressure, knowing that he was on a yellow card for kind of midway through the first half. But all in all, it's just a day to forget. Rangers weren't playing well, and again, it's maybe just a Motherwell fan's mindset that you think if a team's looking for a confidence boost, then come to Firth Park and we'll help you out.
Yeah, that's it. It was a kind of miserable statistic that all of Fashion Sakala's competitive goals for Rangers have all come against Motherwell. And that was always the kind of in-joke, wasn't it, that a striker out of form or a team out of form come to Firth Park and we'll put you right back on track. And we certainly did that with Fashion Sakala going to score a hat-trick against us. Definitely
want to forget. If you look back to games before, I think Cedric Heaton scored the majority of his goals against Motherwell, and even the guy Albanian, I think his name was Gresda or something like that, scored a couple against us, I think. So it just seems that's the, we seem to want to give the players confidence.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, and he's not scored in the games that I've followed either, which just basically sums it up, unfortunately. You were wrong on the Grantis talk about Stephen O'Donnell. What I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss quite a few players that merit a bit of discussion a bit later on. But the next one in the last negative, I've decided I'll go for 3 positives, 3 negatives. I'll keep it fair. The 4-3-3 formation, which is getting a lot of people's backs up, and I can completely understand why. I was totally baffled that it stuck with it. For the game, Pittodrie shows you what I know, because it was, in the end, it worked very well. Guys like Nathan McGinley really kind of thrived in it, to be honest. I don't know whether that was players just digging deep because Stephen O'Donnell was out, whether it was maybe an opportunity for them to show what they can do in the absence of the captain. But I think overall, I'm still very, very unconvinced by this formation.
I think, for me, it's the kind of lack of willingness to change it at any point. Is what just annoys me. I think sometimes you've got to look at the opposition and balance out your team to fit that. Whereas we are going to go in every game where the opposition know exactly what with the players that we pick, that's the formation that we're going to play. And you don't want to chop and change things every week. It's good to have a consistency there. But I personally would like to see us trying a 4-4-2, old school 4-4-2, with Watt and Van Veen up front. I think we've got the squad there to do it. I think a lot of the times our midfield's been overrun, particularly at kind of Tannadice. I feel a lot of the time that we're getting they just run through us at times. But at the end of the day, we go back to what we said at the start, we're sitting fifth in the league, and we can't complain at that. So I really don't know if we've got the right to shout out or we need to change formation, when I suppose all of us are really quite satisfied that our league position, and we've just had a great victory at Aberdeen.
Yeah, it's difficult to argue the toss when you look at the league table. I think one thing it is important to stress, though, is we're still only kind of 6 points above the danger zone in terms of the playoffs. It would have been a really, really negative result if we had lost at Pittodrie, because we could have ended up right in amongst it. But, as you say, that's not what happened. We've got the result we were after, and that's pushed us on. Let's talk a wee bit more in depth about the Aberdeen game. The first half, as we've already discussed, was difficult to watch. We were pegged back for most of it. We had to defend really, really relentlessly for the majority of it. Liam Kelly producing a number of good saves. You move into the second half, two well-worked moves sealed it. One, Gloss puts the ball back for Van Veen to finish superbly. And then a well-worked set-piece move as well, where it looked right off the training ground and it was so, so effective. Following that, we're still put under pressure. I think we ended up with about seven players booked come full-time. But what a result that is. It's a very difficult place to go. Yes, we've had results in the past at Pittodrie. We've beaten Aberdeen earlier on in the season. Again, another game where we had very little of the ball. But it's all about putting the ball in the net at the end of the day. And yet again, we've been capable of doing that. Very, very satisfying victory and very, very unexpected victory as well, I would say.
It was definitely unexpected. And I think, as I said earlier on, when I seen the team, I was really surprised to see Barry Maguire's name there. Thought he'd done all right. I was really concerned when he got the booking, when he kind of launched into the challenge. So that's really part of his game. But he stuck with it. The first half was dreadful. It really was. We didn't look as if we were able to create anything at all. And when you see that there's no shots in goal, no shots in target, and if it wasn't for Liam Kelly, it could have been, the game could have been dead and buried by half time. The way that they came out in the second half, I was expecting a couple of changes, and again I was a wee bit disappointed, because I think that's another thing that the manager seems a wee bit reluctant. There's not many times where he changes the game before 60-70 minutes. And we're sitting at Tannadice and we're getting really frustrated with the lack of changes. He seems really set on the 11 that he picks in that formation.
So we picked up quite a few early bookings in the first half. And I thought the O'Donnell's incident the week before, that we'd have learned from that. I think even the commentator mentioned that on the screen, that he would anticipate that there was changes, but we didn't. I've got to give credit to Goss here, although he's not really done too much for the times that he's been in. But two cracking deliveries. He seems quite tidy on the ball at times. He seems to disappear a lot, but credit has to go to him for the ball into Van Veen, and then the great free kick with Lamy comes back in, and into Van Veen secures the game for us. So he's also a wee bit a bit of negativity, whether it's justified or not, it's not for me to say, but I don't think he's been great. But I'm willing to give a player 6, 7, 8 games before we can definitively cut him off. One positive that I will say was, it was a negative, it turned out to be a positive. Oyala comes off clearly injured. I thought Ricky Lamy was brilliant. I think he's been a wee bit unlucky at times. I know that a lot of the fans last season didn't play well, but I think he started the season all right. I was really surprised that he was dropped initially and then to be completely dropped out of the squad. But he showed that his attitude was there. I thought he was excellent at the back. Throwing his body in front of everything. Although I'll give the assist to Goss, he's in the right position to lay the ball back to Van Veen. So for me, that was a real positive, and it shows that he's got the attitude, and there's obviously the players there that have been dropped out of the squad who probably thought at the start of the season, like, I'm in this squad, I'm in this starting 11 no matter what. So hats off to Ricky Lamy for that. Thought he played really, really well, and I would have no concerns if Foyala's injury is going to be a wee bit more longer term this time, that Ricky Lamy steps up with a performance like that. So well done to him. But what a great result. I thought it was going to turn into the last game where Polworth got sent off and then they just overseen us in the middle of the park. But we stuck with it. And although it wasn't maybe the greatest performance, I sometimes enjoy them even more. I would rather play poorly but able to win the game than play well and lose it.
No, I totally agree. And I think that's something to consider, isn't it? That you've got guys like Lamy that have been out the squad at times, to keep at it and to be ready when called upon is a massive thing. It would have been easy for him to put his head down and get despondent at the fact that he was seemingly out of the picture, but he's come back in, he's taken his chance, and the same goes for Barry Maguire as well, who's had very little in the way of game time. Again, he stepped into the centre of the park, and yeah, as you say, he's had a few tackles where you're thinking, oh no, hold on, this could end up in a red card. But overall, it was a really good performance from a guy that's not had a great deal of game time. I think that's a massive positive. I've been doing the kind of positive and negative thing throughout this, but a wee bit of concern over Ayala and the fact that that's now 3 or 4 times that he's pulled up with an injury. It does seem like that is going to be something that's, at this moment in time, littering his Motherwell career?
Certainly. He's 32 now. Probably adapting to the faster pace of the football and stuff, but the manager obviously sees him as a key player in his squad, and he's probably taking that extra risk. But I think now we've got to realise that it's not worth that risk. We've got Ricky Lamy, we've got I'll be interested to see what happens here, though. I think when we come back to the Hearts game, I'm pretty sure 90% of the support would want McGabby to stay at right back, because I think O'Donnell's performance has certainly been great. But personally, I think that Lamy will just stay on the bench, McGabby will slot into centre half, and O'Donnell will come back and he'll be the replacement for Oyala. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what that is, and when we get an update about his injury, because he certainly appears that Saul and Johansson and Oyala are his first two picks for centre halves. Although I'd have to put my hands up and say that McGabby hasn't been the bomb scare this season that he has previously. Still got it in him, but I'm going to go off his back. I think he's played particularly well in games, even getting me to not apologise, but maybe I called it too early with him.
A bit of an apology to me, to be perfectly honest, but there we go. I think that's an interesting one when you talk about him playing right back, though. For me, the way that we set up has left our fullbacks high and dry at times, and that's why teams are getting so much joy down the flanks against us. The three in the midfield leaves us exposed, and Stephen O'Donnell in particular, it's just a torrid time having to deal with that change of formation. And I'm really kind of loath to write him off in terms of Stephen O'Donnell. I thought we were kind of realistic about what we had there as a player. He's not a world beater. He's not going to develop in the way, for instance, a Nathan Patterson is at Rangers. He's not really got much improving to do, because I think he's pretty much at his optimum level. Is the expectations kind of over and above with Stephen O'Donnell? Have we got a kind of Carol McHugh situation when it comes to the captaincy? I don't really know, but I feel that some of the criticism is quite unwarranted. There was a tweet that went out when he was picked for the Scotland squad for the Moldova and Denmark games, and most of the abuse and the kind of naysayers were coming from our own supporters. It's not that great to see. People are entitled to their opinion, of course they are, but I just couldn't help but be a wee bit disheartened by it.
I agree with you. I think that the treatment, I don't know whether it's because he is a Scotland international, that the expectation of him goes up, and then coupled with him being the captain, some of the criticism that's been put his way, for me, is over the top. I'm not sitting here, and I don't think you are either, saying that he's played well this season.
No, I would completely agree with that. I think that there's times where he's looked off the pace.
But this seems to be the thing with the Mullerwell captaincy. If you look back to our previous three captains, Declan Gallagher, Carol McHugh and Peter Hartley, all of which seem to have, that when they were the captain, it's like a poison chalice. And I've said this, and we recorded the last time, but whether it's the expectation of the levels that O'Donnell can take the team, but some of the things that I've heard or seen, you know, he's the worst captain that the club's ever had and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know where that's coming from. Yes, he's out of form, and probably if he was asked himself, he would come out and say, do you know what, I haven't been playing well, and I'm quite lucky to still get a place in my team, and I'm going to do everything to fight my way back into it. But it just seems to be an automatic target. If we go down, if we go behind, everything's on his shoulders. It's probably the worst that I've seen a player being targeted right through the start. I mean, I go back to the games when we beat the Airdrie, who everybody was shite that night, but it seemed to be completely his fault. I think as fans, we've got to understand that sometimes standing shouting or demanding that these players are not going to play, maybe it's not the best way for them to improve. Maybe that's making them even more nervous and making these costly mistakes. And I'm not saying everybody's to stand up and applaud them, but maybe give them a wee bit of a break and try and show a wee bit of encouragement. It's going to sound as if you and I are both in the happy clapping brigade, and it's pretty clear that I'm not, with the way that the situation every week that I was saying McGarvey wasn't good enough. But I think we've got to give the guy a wee bit of a break. He said a summer where personally he was hounded, personally responsible for Scotland not winning the Euros. That's the way that it felt. And when he came up against England, he was almost a kind of a hero. So let's use that as a positive. Our captain's played at Motherwell, mentioned at the kind of highest level of football, marking it Stirling and putting Grealish on his arse and stuff like that. So yes, he can't have a lot off the back of that, but I've personally found it quite frustrating that there's times where fans are saying, oh, there's much better right backs out there. But that's what Steve Clarke, that's his squad, that's what he wants. O'Donnell's obviously shown enough to, I mean, look at the Austria performance. He's performed brilliant for Scotland again. But yeah, he has made quite a few mistakes, so I can understand. But it's not his fault he's a captain. It's not his fault he got picked for Scotland. So for me, I just get behind him, and I hope that majority do give him that wee break to get back. And let's not forget as well that he's had COVID through it. So we don't know how bad he was with that. His season's been kind of start-stop. But I'm not shouting for his head. But I can understand at the same time why would we change our winning formation. Again, going back to stats, I think I read something that O'Donnell's been absent the majority of the games that we've won. But I'm sure there's other stats there that will support him being included in the squad as well.
Yeah, I think I'd have to kind of agree with all of that. In terms of O'Donnell, I just sometimes think that it's almost as if there's a vibe coming off that people don't want him to succeed. There was quite a bit of chat around the game at the weekend there that about who our next captain should be and things like that. We've already got a captain, and to strip a player of the captaincy 3 months into the season would just be absurd as far as I'm concerned. Yes, he's had a rough time of it. Yes, he's not performed to the levels that maybe we hoped or expected he would, but I certainly don't think that merits, at this given point in time, ditching the captain. I really don't. And fingers crossed he can recapture the form that he displayed for both Scotland and for Motherwell, because I think he's a really solid 7 out of 10 performer for the best part of last season. He was certainly one of our better players. You're not going to get Cafu or anything like that from him. He's not at that level, but he's an efficient, steady defender. And if we can get him back on track, then I think he could be a real asset to the squad. It winds me up a wee bit the way that he has almost kind of been attacked. And it kind of shows, it demonstrates his character as well, because it doesn't seem to get him down at any point. He seems to still be a strong guy that's just going to get on with his football. And at the end of the day, if Graeme Alexander's picking him and Steve Clarke's picking him for the Scotland squads, then he must be doing something right. I'm absolutely going to go out on a limb and say that both these guys that I've mentioned know more about football than someone that watches Stephen O'Donnell for 90 minutes on a Saturday sitting in the stands at Fir Park or wherever it may be. So, yeah, I think that he does deserve a wee bit of leeway, and maybe just getting off his back a little would be beneficial.
I think what frustrates me is that when he's announced in the Scotland squad, now, in my opinion, did he merit being in the Scotland squad? I have to say, I probably don't think he did merit on performances, but Steve Clarke seems really loyal to that group of players. He doesn't really want to make too many changes. Although he should have had Tony Watt in there rather than the guy from Stoke, but that's another agenda. The thing that really frustrates me is when he's in the squad, we've got fans for our club coming out and saying, the first name that comes into my mind is Anthony Ralston. Yes, he's a decent start to the season. He's played well. I've never seen him play 90 minutes. He scored a few goals. Is that clouding people's judgment? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. Get into a game in Moldova, who would rather have it right back, O'Donnell or Ralston? I'll go all out there and say every day of the week I will have O'Donnell due to his international experience. I'm not saying that Ralston isn't going to come on and be a great player, because in all honesty, I don't know. I think the other one I seen was some guy from St Johnstone again that scored in the cup final. His name completely escapes me. That's the very one. The only times that I've seen him is when he's played us and scoring goals in the two finals, which, fair play to the guy, a great achievement. But does that make him a Scotland player? Not Disney. So for me, I'm proud that we've got players in the Scotland squad that almost adds that wee bit of extra interest in it. Disappointed that Tony Watt didn't get included with the suspensions and injuries and stuff. But if Stephen O'Donnell plays in either of the two games, it gives me that wee extra kind of a 5%. So I'm 100% behind him and proud that he's in the squad.
100%, I completely agree with you there. I've got another couple of players jotted down that I think deserve a bit of discussion. The first one I've got is Sean Goss, who maybe actually won a few people over with his performance the other day. I think that it was a big surprise that Goss remained in the starting 11 and Callum Slattery dropped to the bench. But again, Graeme Alexander vindicated in that decision with the result and a more solid showing by the midfield. He's clearly got talent, and you can see that with his part in the first goal on Saturday. I noticed a bit as well, but he's geeing up the fans. He's clearly desperate to make an impact and to be a success at Motherwell. I've mentioned turning points quite a bit in this podcast. Could Saturday be a turning point for Sean Goss in his Motherwell career?
Well, honestly, I think this podcast probably came at a good time for Sean Goss, because it's hard to argue that he doesn't merit his place in the next starting 11 just due to the fact that he had two balls in. What I will say, though, is I don't really remember him doing too much else. I thought he got on the ball a wee bit more. So maybe that's where the improvement, maybe it's just getting up to match speed. I don't know what the situation was, if he had to feel. I know that he was with us a wee bit before he had signed. I don't think he had a pre-season, so it's maybe just been a combination of things. And again, we need to be a wee bit patient, but certainly his two deliveries, from a midfield point of view, that's what we've been crying out for. So for me, I'm undecided, but willing to give him that chance. And if he can deliver balls in like that, we've got guys like Tony Watt and Kevin Van Veen, we're on to a winner, in my opinion. So patience is probably going to be key with him, but I'll sit on the fence.
Next one I've got is Liam Kelly, who has maybe had his first dip in a Motherwell jersey in this run of games where we've not been recording. A player that has dug us out of so many holes time and time again. Fantastic shot stopper. And he was back to his very best on Saturday. One save in particular, just almost beggars belief how he managed to keep the ball out. But he had two or three really important stops before that. I look back at the Man game and he's a wee bit rash coming off his line for the first goal. Brophy takes the ball round him and sticks it away, but he's still got a lot to do, Brophy. It's a really good finish. Following on from that, though, he saves the penalty. It's very unfortunate that it's deemed to be that he's off his line. It's retaken and Brophy scores. After that, he made two crucial saves, though, to actually keep the score at 2-2. It meant that we didn't actually lose a 2-0 lead to lose 3-2. I don't think he had any part to play in any of the Rangers' goals. I don't think he could have done very much. He was quite badly exposed at times. And then on Saturdays, he's back to really a 10 out of 10 performance. He's been excluded from the Scotland squad, which must have come as a disappointment to him. I was speaking to him for the matchday programme prior to the Rangers game, and he was talking about his hopes that he can continue to push Craig Gordon and Xander Clark and hopefully lay a claim to one day becoming Scotland's number one goalkeeper. To miss out in these two big games must be a real body blow, but what a way to demonstrate what Steve Clark's missing with that performance on Saturday.
I'm glad that you brought him up, because I thought the real game that was Hearts obviously saved a penalty, but his decision making for their penalty, and a lot of people are saying they don't think it was a penalty, it was really clumsy the way that his decision was to come off the line, and his positioning for that goal was pretty poor. And he did go through that wee kind of spell, but again it shows the attitude that he's come back in against Aberdeen, with a point to prove, probably motivated by the fact that he's not made the Scotland squad, and virtually say, look, I'm still here. The one that make Xander Clark, again, I can't really comment on sports scene. For what I see him, he looks a pretty decent keeper. And you're probably, if you're a St Johnstone supporter, you'd probably be disappointed if he wasn't included.
I think both of them should be included, and it should be John McLaughlin who's not in the squad. For he's in and out kind of performances, and when he has played for Rangers, I don't think he's been any better than them two. So for me, there's Xander Clarke and Liam Kelly. It's almost as if John McLaughlin, he should be there. But I mean, he's at best going to play a quarter of the games for Rangers this season. So for me, that's when I'm more frustrated. But I was delighted to see Liam Kelly back, because I was a wee bit concerned. I thought, although not completely to blame at Tannadice, I thought some of his positioning again was a wee bit questionable. But at the same time, I was never ever saying, oh, he needs to get Scott Fox on the park. I think he just went through a wee shaky period, and hopefully that's him come back through it. And I've got no doubt that he will been there or thereabouts in the Scotland squad. He's still getting spoken about for the Scotland squad. So I'm pretty confident that he'll be up there. But the one thing that I did take through is that he seems really happy at Motherwell. He doesn't seem to have any negativity about what a lot of people would look at as a move in the downward direction from getting a big move to the English Championship. But he seems to two things, either wanting to prove his doubters wrong that they shouldn't have got away. But I think his main focus is playing well for a club that he feels wanted, almost like Tony Watt, and fighting his way into that Scotland squad. And I think that's got to be admired.
Oh, that takes us on nicely. The next player I've got on the list is Tony Watt. And that's more around his exclusion from that Scotland squad for the fixtures against Moldova and Denmark. Steve Clarke's went a bit left field in the sense that he's called up Stoke City's Jordan Brown, who I see scored the winning goal for Stoke at the weekend there. Tony Watt's done fantastically well with Motherwell, and he's continued to find the net this season as well, which is something, if you were to level any criticism at Tony Watt during his time at Motherwell, was that he wasn't consistently scoring goals. He's added that to his game this season, albeit he's not scored against Rangers or Celtic, which I think is maybe something that comes into the reckoning in that, because if you do score a goal in one of these big games, you do inevitably become more on the radar. I certainly don't think he's far away. There's been quite a contrasting debate. I was reading the thread in Steelman Online, and there was cases for Tony Watt being in the squad and cases against. For me, I'm possibly on the fence, to be honest. I thought that he would have certainly been highly in the reckoning. I'm sure he is quite disappointed because of all the talk about around the squad announcement, there was a good chance that he'd be included. James McFadden was really championing his cause. It's not happened, but he's still got plenty of time to work his way in. He's also at that stage where we're very much hoping he signs an extension to his contract. There was some sound bites that came out following the Dundee United game a few weeks ago, where he said that his next move has to be the right one. But he is very happy at Motherwell. He's clearly embraced the kind of community element of the football club as well. I'll ask you first what your take is on his exclusion from the Scotland squad, and then after that, whether you think he will remain at the club beyond the summer.
My take on him with the Scotland squad, has got two different factors to it. First factor is that he is the informed striker in the SPL, and on that merit, should probably merit his position in the squad. Not just, maybe not as a long-term fix. I don't think that he's going to be the first pick as a Scotland striker, far from it. But the most important factors is that London Dykes is suspended, Ryan Christie suspended, alright, Adams played the full game against Villa on Friday night, and you'd like to think that he would be the first pick. But the whole point is that I just don't see the why he's not included. And for these particular games, I think it's to do with his reputation before coming to Motherwell. So, if we, for example, say it was Connor Shields
that was looking through this goal scoring run and putting the performances in of Tony Watt, I'm pretty sure that Conor Shields would have been included in the squad. I think that Steve Clarke stubbornly would have thought it's quite a lazy call up, getting one of the players that's had a cap before, and we'll just cling on to Tony Watt with the reputation of scoring the goal against Barcelona. Now, let's not forget, Tony Watt did have a reputation as being lazy and having an attitude. And since he's been at Motherwell, I've not seen that. And I personally think that is the main thing that has held him back. I think it's a big gamble taking a lad that I'm pretty sure that the majority is, I might be just being out of turn here, had never even heard of, never mind knowing that he was eligible to play for Scotland. Now, if he comes and shows that he's a great player, and then brilliant, Steve Clarke, well done. But for me, it's a big gamble. Tony Watt knows all the players that's in that squad, which is another factor. He's been about the Scottish game, knows what's Scotland games, he knows the makeup of the squad. I just think it would have been a no-brainer. Now, I'm not saying that he would have been in the starting 11, but we've seen the effort, work rate that Tony Watt's put in, and he's added goals to that game. I really don't know what else he's needed. Just to re-emphasise, though, what I'm saying is, I don't see Tony Watt as being the quality Scotland striker that we are looking for. Obviously, we've got Lyndon Dykes and Adams at the moment, who are performing pretty well. I think Tony Watt would come in and do a job. You've got to look at Kevin Nisbet. I mean, he's going to kick his own arse now. But again, going back to my point was earlier on, Steve Clarke seems to be really, really, really positive and really, really kind of a consistent with and loyal to the players that he's picked. And I think that Steve Clarke would see Tony Watt's inclusion in this squad as being a one-off. And that's probably why he's went with the boy Brown, because he sees him as being maybe a wee bit more long-term than what Tony Watt would have done. So I think he's been really, really unfortunate for this block of games. The thing is, if he went in there and had a wonder game against Moldova or one scored against Denmark, it'd be hard to keep him out if he keeps this vein of form up. Whether he'll stay or not, listen, we've spoken about this before as football fans. We need to understand that football to us is I'm not going to say it's obviously a massive part of all of Motherwell fans' life. We all look forward to going to the games. It's a time we escape, and we probably think and talk and do everything about Motherwell on the build up to the week. But these guys, it's their livelihood. And if he gets an offer in America or abroad somewhere, or who knows, even down south, then I'd completely understand if he went. Obviously, I would want him to stay. And I think a lot of the fans see him as being a kind of captain material. You've already alluded to the fact that he has got he's got the community spirit. He seems to really have fitted in. But see, if it's not financially there, and somebody else comes in and offers some crazy money, as long as it's not Buddy Aberdeen like they seem to do, I wouldn't imagine going back to Hearts, then I would wish him all the best, but really hope that he stays, because he's been, I mean, at times where there's not many games where I've thought, you know what, Tony Watt's been crap today. You see his effort and his work rate. I'll go back to that, see the game at St Mirren, we get beaten penalties, and he looked as if he was going to die on his feet. And I thought, you know what, that guy is showing complete and utter commitment. And I think he's been like that since we signed him. And you've got to commend him for that. And for that, I'll hold no grudges in what he picks to do. But I really hope that he stays. Because he could really turn into being a Motherwell fan's favourite. I don't want to use legend or a Motherwell great. That's up to him to make that him. Go out and it helps us on to win a cup or something like that, but he'll definitely be well thought of, even more so if he signs that new contract.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that the Scotland thing, it might just be down to the set style of play that Steve Clarke has as well. He's maybe looking for a like-for-like replacement for Lyndon Dykes, and I wouldn't pretend to know a great deal about Jordan Brown, but I know that from listening to a reporter from the Stoke Observer or whatever their local paper is, that he was saying that Stoke actually targeted London Dykes last season, and QPR just basically had more financial power and got him over Stoke City. Jordan Brown seems to be a very similar player in style to Dykes, and maybe that's what Clark is looking for, almost a like-for-like replacement for a game that the London Dykes won't be available. He's very set in his style as well, Steve Clark. So that might be the reason as to why Brown's got the nod over Tony Watt there. The one I can't understand it is Nisbet, because I've read a lot of stuff from Hibs fans as well, just really frustrated by his contributions so far this season. It just doesn't seem to be anywhere near the level that he was last season. And at that point, you really would imagine that the manager would at least start to look elsewhere in terms of alternatives. And who else would you look to apart from the top Scottish scoring player in the division at this moment in time? So, yeah, he can consider himself unfortunate, but I'm sure that he'll continue to work as hard as he always does. And he certainly had a real ding-dong battle again with Scott Brown at Pittodrie. The final players on my list are two guys that have almost been the missing men. Jake Carroll, not so much, because he came off the bench against Aberdeen. Liam Donnelly, just completely out of the picture, and no real update in terms of what's happening there. Especially at a time where we've been struggling in the centre of the park. Real question marks over why Liam Donnelly just isn't featuring. Is he injured again? It's all very vague and quite disappointing, because this is a guy that's a Northern Irish internationalist. It seems very strange that he's not deemed good enough to even make the squad at Motherwell.
You do wonder if the injury has made him even worse the injury was worse than what we thought, and it's really affected his pace or whatever. But I mean, he's not even on the bench. He just seems to be so far out the picture. But I think that is the manager's makeup. He doesn't really give much away in relation to squad updates at all. Maybe a wee bit more now. But I just don't think that the manager fancies him that much. I think the season that he scored quite a few penalties, but he scored some really important and some great goals for us. But the season before that, he wasn't brilliant. I fully suspect him to end up signing for Morecambe with Steve Robinson, because obviously Robinson brought him here. Wouldn't be surprised me if something like that has already been muted with regards to, I don't know what his contract situation is, but if it's at the end of the season, I'm pretty sure that might be a factor. Now, there's no substance to that whatsoever, other than me putting two and two together and possibly putting up with 22. But that's potentially a reason behind it. Sometimes that's just what happens when players come into a squad, that you just don't fit into the manager's plans. Just need to fancy you as a player. In relation to Jake Carroll, I think he was really poor in the first kind of part of the season. Gave the penalty away against Annan with a real clumsy challenge. I felt as if he's positioning all the way through the season until he got sent off some of his rash challenges. And I was actually saying, I think it would be better for him to come back in for McGinley, but McGinley was better on Saturday. Defensively, Carroll is poor. Going forward, he's much better. But I don't think either of them are ideal candidates for left back.
It's the kind of Stevie Handel. It's a kind of Stevie Handel conundrum, isn't it? That we've not had a left back since, and it often feels like we're never going to have one again. But I think, for me, McGinley played well against St Mirren at Firth Park, and then had a really, really off day. But again, I think that's not helped by the way we set up against Rangers. I think that almost kind of left both him and Stephen O'Donnell out to dry somewhat. And then he's certainly a guy that can get stuck in and gives his all. Whether he's got a great deal of ability, that's questionable, to be honest. But I think, for me, Carroll is the better ability-wise of the two. But he can be quite a costly player to have in your team as well. So it's an interesting one. I think what you say is right. I think that if you were to put them both head-to-head and really examine them very closely, you would possibly end up going out and trying to find another left-back rather than playing either of them. But we've only got the two options just now, and I'm kind of torn on who I would have in.
I've got to say, though, I mean, see McGinley's performance against Dundee United at Paradise. It was horrendous. I would have put my mortgage on him not getting picked in the next game, and I was absolutely shocked to see that he was playing.
You wouldn't put anything on Graham Alexander's starting 11 for any game, would you?
No, that is the one thing. But I mean, he couldn't pick a pass together. He was out of position. He was terrible. He really, really was terrible. And I think that's been part of the problem with us, with the way that we play, that our fullbacks have been pretty poor this season. So it's maybe something that in January they need to address. I think McGinley's contract's out. I think I'm pretty sure that Jake Carroll's got another season after this.
Yeah, he signed an extension last year, didn't he?
2 years, I think. Two and a bit years. So it was like half the season that was left, and then this season and next. So you've got to see that he's going to be there long term. Now, whether or not, again, he's a long injury, whether or not his fitness will bust him back, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see. I just don't think McGinley's a long term SPL quality footballer. And that's my opinion. I think he tries hard. Sometimes, as I said before, I would try hard if I played, but I wouldn't be very good.
No, that's fair enough. We'll not go into the Hearts game just now, because we're sitting here almost 2 weeks away from the game, and there's a lot of moving parts to that. There are players away in international duty and such like, so there's a scope for injuries and something to break over the next week and a half that could really change the dynamic of the game. But we'll wrap this up basically just by thanking everyone for listening, and thanks to you as well, mate, because it's really been great being back tonight.
No, it has. It's been good. It's always good to come back in a positive result. I think it would have been a completely different podcast, or we possibly wouldn't have recorded if we
weren't actually waiting for the next victory before we recorded again. It's worked out pretty well in that regard.
It would have been difficult coming on and recording against Rangers, because it would have been pointless. I think we'd have went over and over the negativity, but this certainly puts us in the driving seat again. And when we come back in the next couple of weeks, hopefully Stephen O'Donnell's scored the goal that takes us to the Euro playoffs.
World Cup playoffs. The Euros have passed. We're now get bigger.
I stand corrected.
Thanks again, mate. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back in a fortnight's time. Until then, thank you and goodbye. Seems